Our study school, Sunday school is deeper, you know, and where we're going in the scripture through the attributes of Christ in charity and how they apply to us in a real world is going to start being disturbing to us. Today you're going to be challenged. I was challenged in preparation. I was challenged because I know my heart in this one word, unseemingly. It's only mentioned twice in the Bible. It's mentioned in Romans 1:27, and it's mentioned in Corinthians that charity does not behave itself unseemingly. So how can you take a word that is only mentioned twice and expound on it? I can't. God can't. Although the word is only mentioned two times, what it means to live unseemingly is peppered throughout the Word of God. It is anything that God doesn't want His people to have involved in their life. And true charity means that in your camp, in your heart, in your life, there's nothing unseemly there. And we're going to dig into that pretty deep today. And as I was going through it this week, I realized how short I come. And I spend a lot of time in prayer. I spend a lot of time in word. I do what I think I best can do into living a holy and a life that represents Christ. And even as best as I can do, I realize that I come miles away from what God really expects out of me. And then it brings to my mind my two favorite words in the Bible, but God. Where I fall short, He picks up. And I'm so grateful for that. Today you may see some things where you feel like you fall short, that you're not quite living unseemly. I'm going to ask you now to place the blood, the forgiveness, the propitiation, the covering of Christ as we look into this word, unseemly, because we are all unseemly in some way, someplace, in your mind, in your heart. In this one attribute of the 16 characteristics of Christ that's mentioned in charity, it says that charity does not behave unseemly. This not unseemly. I got to go to God for it one more time. Father, I thank you so much. I ask even now, Lord Jesus, help. Father, help. As by faith I step outside of the boat, Lord God, and I see the waves wrapping around me and the turmoil inside of my heart, Lord Jesus. Lead my mouth to glorify your word, Father, and I ask that in Jesus' name. The true charity that is able to give life to the believer and hope to the lost. This charity, these 16 attributes, this is what it's really for. True charity has the ability to give life. It gives life to the believer first. Because how can you help somebody else unless you have received the help yourself? How can you accept, how can you love unless you have experienced the love of God? How can you, or as a human, truly minister unless you've gone through the trials yourself, right? And I praise God for that the Lord has allowed me to go through a lot of trials, a lot of sin. He's allowed a lot of stuff in my life. That way I can minister in a real way. Amen? And He's allowed a lot of stuff in your life, things you may not understand. But He's allowed these things to live in you, to dwell in you, to mess up your mind and the way that you think, hurts and pains and things you may not understand, but he's done that for a specific reason, and that is to build you up in the love and the admonition of God, that you might be poured out someday in someone else's life, showing true charity. And in that, it will give life. Not only does it give life to the believer, but it gives hope to the lost. This living unseemingly needs to be the outward conduct that is equal to the inward belief. You will never get any deeper in the love of God until you start living the love of God in your life. You've got to not just have it in your mind, but it has to be part of your lifestyle. And this lifestyle is just not what the whole world sees, but it is in the quietness of your own thoughts, in your own mind. It's when nobody else is there except you and God. This unseemliness inside of the human needs to be dealt with. And it says, because true charity doesn't behave itself unseemingly, but it always, from out of the mouth, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's something that's inside that comes out that the people see. So living unseemly is actually something that is unseeming in their inner parts that hasn't been dealt with. Right? We'll get into that as we get into this in the scripture. It is this: we need to have an outward conduct that is equal to the inward belief. Holiness is the goal, and anything less than holiness is unseemly to God. All right, now that's a high mark. And when I came to this in my study, I realized this is why it's bothering me so much. I know me, and I know that I am not where I need to be. And I think that if you really examine your own life, your own heart, as holy and as blameless as you might be, when you compare yourself to God, you look like pretty much a filthy rag.
Amen.
Right? And when I was comparing myself to what God is expecting out of me, I realized how far short I actually come on every single day, on every single moment, and it scares me. Not scared of my salvation, but it scares me because I might disappoint the God who saved me. Not that he would ever turn his back on me or not love me because I am unlovely, but that my conduct might not glorify him to a lost and dying world because of the unseemliness that is alive in the inside of my heart.
And yet grace abounds.
Yet grace abounds.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And yet grace abounds. And we'll get to that by the grace of God. I love you, Alan. Thank you. All right. And you've heard it said, what would happen if we truly believed what we say we believed is real? All right, if we really believe these 16 characteristics, what would it look like if our actions really lived it out? Right? If our lifestyle would be leaning toward holiness and less toward the flesh every day, every moment. Again, grace would abound. Praise God for that. And so, if our walk would truly match our talk, if the church... I'm not talking about the world, because their walk and their talk does match. Amen. But the church, the holy ones, the ones who are called to be out of the darkness into the light, if our lifestyle in the quietness of your home when nobody else is there would always be like Jesus. Because if we can do it in the quietness of our house, then in the outside world, you couldn't help it. It would just come out. Right? It would just come out. I need to control through the power of the Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, alive and active in my life. And why do I need to do that? And I'm going to call myself a camp, okay? Because I'm going to bring this to what God told Moses to tell to the camp of Israel when they were there. And this is Deuteronomy 23 and 14, just this one verse. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp All right, let me ask, do you believe that? That the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of your camp. And that he, remember, he gave us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that would dwell with us for how long? Forever, right? That no matter, he doesn't leave, he doesn't close his eyes, he doesn't turn away from anything that's there. He's walking in amongst your camp every moment of every day. And the Lord God is doing that for Israel, that he's saying. That he walks in the midst of thy camp. Why? To deliver thee. To give up thine enemies before thee. All right? I did some thinking on this in my personal life. God gave me the Holy Spirit living within me in conjunction with the Word, the Bible, the King James Bible. Why? One, to deliver me. What's he to deliver me from? Unseemliness. He's to deliver me from these things that are attacking me. The fiery darts of Satan. He gave us that shield of faith. He gave us the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, right? He gave us the sandals or the shoes of the gospel of peace. And he gave us the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. He gave us those things. And he gave it to deliver us and to give up thine enemies before thee. There is no weapon formed against you spiritually, physically, mentally, that can conquer you as long as you keep your heart in tune with God. As long as you do your best to walk in the holiness that you know, there is nothing that the demonic horde can do to you. They can throw landmines in front of you. They can try to trip you up. They put thoughts in your mind. But with every temptation, God has done what? Given a way of deliverance. He's with every temptation, with everything, every time that unseemliness raises its head in my camp, God has given me a way to escape from that. My problem is I don't try to escape enough. I don't know what your problem is. And the reason I talk about me like this, because I don't know you that good. I know me this good. Right? And I think that if it's dealing with me, it's dealing with you. Right? Because there's nothing new under the sun. Amen? Therefore, shall thy camp be holy. Okay? Why do we need to be holy? Because God's walking in and out of your camp. He's always there. He wants to deliver you from the evil that's around you. He wants to deliver you, and God's walking in and out of your camp. He wants to give your enemies no place, no ground in your camp. Therefore, thy camp should be holy. He wants us to be holy. That he see no unclean thing in thee. Unseemliness is uncleanliness before God. Now, I'm not talking about getting your hands dirty in the garden. I'm talking about getting your soul dirty from this world system. Loving the world system more than we love the Word of God is unseemly to God. And every time we turn to the world system for answers instead of God for answers, then that is unseemly. We're supposed to walk by what? Faith and not sight. So if we're walking by faith, faith is the what? Evidence of things not seen. Right? We don't see faith. We have faith. We live faith. It's faith, again, the Spirit moves as the wind blows. We don't know where it comes from or where it goes to, but we see the evidences of that. The Christian living a holy life has the evidences of God working in, on, and through them, cleansing the unseemliness, the sin, flesh sin, of the individual as he trusts the Holy Spirit more than he trusts himself. I have problems. Amen? I feel you, brother. I got problems. I got pride. I got self-righteousness. I don't have sins on the outside, but I have this unseemliness on the inside of my camp. And God has asked me to go and take that thing of the world that I have loved and treasured and thought of and kept as my private little thing, right? Whatever it is, my self-righteousness. Right now, I got a problem with that because I believe I am all that. I'm not. And God keeps smacking me in the face. He says, you're not all that. Stop thinking you're all that. You're putting yourself mentally higher than you ought to be. You better repent and you better come before me with a broken and a contrite heart. Or I'm going to, what he says, or turn away from thee. All right, right here. It says he's walking through the camp. He's asking us, he wants to deliver us. If we choose not to do that, he says, I will turn away from thee, thy camp. Now, everybody says, well, that's just the Old Testament. God doesn't mean that for you. No. From what I understand, God's the same in the Old Testament as he is the New Testament. Now, he is talking about a camp. Right. Amen. Go ahead, say it.
Yesterday, today.
Today and forever. Amen. He does not change. There is no shadow of turning in God. So if there's a shadow of turning, where must it be? It's me. Because God is calling us to be holy. And we need to be holy right now in this time more than we've ever needed to be holy before. And it has to be us. And the reason I say that, not that God has wanted us to be more holy than our forefathers, but he does want us to be holy as we can be in this our time. Because the darkness is coming in. Satan is coming in like a flood. There is wickedness on foot here in our nation. And I ain't going to get into all of it, but there's some things that are going on. Our children are being attacked. Ferociously attacked by the education system. And it's not the kids' fault, and it's not even the education system's fault, is that we, the Christians, started living unseemingly in our lives, and we allowed the evil to take a foothold in our lives, in our nation, because we didn't fight it off. Well, we shouldn't talk about politics in church. This is what you get. You don't talk about politics in church, and you got kids thinking that they can change their gender.
Amen.
You don't talk about politics in church, and there's, what are they called, fuzzies? Furbies. Whatever. And if you do not know what one of those are, look it up. It is wicked. It is wicked, and it is in our schools. Where a child can think that it's an animal, a cat, or a dog. Now, this is getting off base, but this is really piercing my heart. This is some things. Because the church has lived unseemingly for so long, we have allowed teachers to pollute the minds of our children to the point that not only do they believe that they can change their gender at 5 years old, they also believe that they can be an animal. And the schools are putting litter boxes in the schoolhouses for Furbies to use. Church, we gotta do something. We gotta pray. We gotta enter this fight. Because there is, these children that are growing up with this, unseemingliness being taught to them, being brainwashed into them, my heart is breaking. And I didn't want to talk about that. I was just going to talk about me and my mess. But it's not just me and my mess. This nation is a mess because the church is living unseemingly before God. And God says, when I do that, I'm going to turn my back on you and you're going to have the fullness of your heart's desire. You don't want God in the church. You don't want God in the government. You don't want God in the classroom. You don't want the truth of God in your children's lives. Well, this is what it turns out to be. We've got to wake up. The time of our redemption is nearer than we first believed. It's high time that we wake up out of our sleep. Church, we must move toward holiness. Why? Because God's walking in the camp. He's desiring us to be holy. He's desiring us to be set apart. Ephesians chapter 4, and this is where we're going to start the teaching. All of that was just stuff that it was in me that needed to be taught. That needed to come out because this is tearing my mind up. I have grandchildren in the school system. There's little ones that cannot read or write right now that are being perverted in their minds and in their bodies. And where is the church?
These kids are going to grow up someday. There's just a few years and they're going to graduate high school. Do you remember when your kids were in kindergarten? How fast it went from kindergarten to 12th grade and they graduated? And all of the stuff that they were taught and learned was put into their lives, sealed their mindset into what they are now? Right? All those things that was taught. Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart. Raise up a child in perversion, and when he's old, he will not depart. Raise up a child away from God, and when he's old, he will not depart. It's a strong man. It's a strong, amen, brother. Thank you for that. A stronghold, a strong man. There is demon wickedness. And they're not attacking us so much. They're attacking our children. They're attacking our true treasures.
That's right.
And they're perverting them there and slaughtering them there. They don't even know they're dying, but they're dying. Why? Because we're not living, I'm not living holy in my household. The church has perverted the Word of God. We're living unseemingly and in the face of God. A holy God, a just God. And I know where you may be thinking to yourself, I'm not that bad. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Get that thought out of your mind that you're not that bad, because I'm that bad. I'm not where I needed to be. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Do we love Him? Do you really love God? Is there a deep compassion for righteousness and holiness in our lives? Ephesians 4, I have 17 through chapter 5, 21. Pretty big hunk of scripture there, but no sense in starting in 17 when you have 14. Amen. In 14 it says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine and the sleight of man, by cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's what happened to the church. That's what happened to God's people. We should not henceforth. Why? Because of all the truth and the love of God. We ought to be, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him and all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. All right? Did you see what? We need to be on the same page. Why do we need to be on the same? I need your strength. I need your strength. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. I need your input. That's why I love our Sunday school. Even in the tense times. Amen? Those are wonderful times. You know why? Because we're grinding it out. We're grinding it out. And you may not see it the way that the teacher teaches it. Doesn't matter. You know what? I bet we went over 100 scriptures today. All King James, by the way.
Yeah.
Amen. Right? All King James. We got all of the juicy fruit scriptures out. And so we got the juicy scriptures, right? The real thing. Amen. Amen. Why do we do it? For the measure, the making up, the maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love, in charity. The edifying itself in charity. The edifying itself in love, in agape, in true growth. 17 says, this I say therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that henceforth you walk, alright, I put you, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. What did Paul just tell the church? Stop walking like the world. Why? Because we're supposed to edify each other. We're supposed to build each other up. I'm supposed to help clean your nastiness, and you're supposed to help clean my unseemliness. That's what we'll call it, because that's what we're talking about today. We're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to pray for one another. We're supposed to confront each other with the problem of sin in our lives. I must confess my sin to you, and you pray for me. All right? That's how we do it. That's how it's made. And how do I know what sin? Bible tells me what sin is. All right? How do I know that I have a sin problem? Because John tells us that if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. All right? But with every way, we have a way of escape. Right? We'll get to that in a minute. I chopped it up in my mind. But in this, he says, and having, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I know Christians that believe, people who claim Jesus Christ. I'm not going to call them Christian. All right? People that verbally say that Jesus is their Lord, but they also say that it's okay to change your gender. People that say that they belong to Jesus Christ, but they have sexual relationships outside of the boundaries of marriage. Okay, let's. People that say that they're Christian and they lie, cheat, and steal every chance they get. People that say that they're Christians and think more highly of themselves than they ought. All of those things tell God you're not a Christian.
Amen.
Right? You may say, Lord, Lord, have we not? And Jesus says, get away from me, ye workers of iniquity, ye workers of uncleanness, ye workers of unseemliness. If we're working in unseemliness, then God is telling us, we got a choice. We need to make it before we die. I truly believe that there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians. When they get to stand before God, they're going to be sorely disappointed. They think they're there, but they're not there. They have loved the iniquity more than they've loved the Word of God. They've loved. And then I'm talking to the church here. God called me to strengthen that which remains. How do we strengthen what remains? Well, first we've got to get into the gunk of the gears and clean it out. Got a chainsaw. The other day, I was cutting some stuff and the chainsaw the motor was running, but the chain wasn't working. The lock wasn't locked, but the chain wasn't working. So I had to turn it off, take it apart. You know what I found out? Is that there was gunk inside of the locking mechanism stopping it from working. Well, what did I have to do? I had to take it out. I had to clean it. That's what we're trying to do today. Because the church is not working at optimal abilities. You ain't working the best. I'm tired of using big words. We are not where we ought to be. Why are we not where we ought to be? Because God's walking through the camp and he said, hey, Curtis, I want you to pick that thing up. And Curtis said, no, it's fine where it's at. Come on, God, you'll overlook that. It's just a small thing. God's saying, no, I'm walking through the camp. I'm looking for pollution in the camp. I'm looking for the things that would make me turn away from you. And I told you to clean that. And I say, no. God says, all right, have it your way. You don't want to clean that, you ain't got me. Our relationship now is torn. And that's what was breaking my heart this whole week as I was going over this unseemliness. Is there something between me and God? Is there something that God has been trying to tell me to get out of my life? Because it's destroying my relationship with Him. How many times have you gone to prayer and you just don't think you're getting nowhere? You pray and you pray and you pray and it's like nothing is happening. Alright, I know why it is in my life, because there's something unseemly in my life that God has already told me to clean up, and I didn't do it. I don't know about you, but that bothers me, because it says something about me. having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Alienated from the life of God. Why? Because our understanding's darkened. Because we really don't believe what we say we believe is real. Verse 19, who being in past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, working all uncleanness, seemingliness, working all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Now see, we have right here, we have no excuse. We have not learned Christ in the ways of the world. We learn Christ through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which that's part of this job, to lead us into all righteousness, all truth, and to remind us the things that Jesus did. The problem is when the Holy Spirit comes to us and tells us to clean this unseemliness out of our life, we say, no, God, I like the crud. I want to live in the mess. And God says, all right, you want to live in darkness? Go ahead. I will be the light for you if you want me to be the light for you. But if you don't want it, you ain't got to have it. I'll take my light and I'll go somewhere else. But as quick as we come to our senses, as quick as we come to our understanding that God wants to give us the light, and we repent from the darkness, the shamelessness, the unseemliness, the uncleanness that's in our life, then He shows us the rest of the story. That's when things start to change in our hearts and our minds. You've not so learned Christ. Verse 21, but so be that you have heard of Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Christ. So, do you want the truth? You better be in Christ. You better be in Jesus. And it says Jesus, and I said Christ. My bad. But anyhow, verse 22. Put ye off. Do what? What does OFF mean? It's more than a bug spray. Put off. This is something you must do. That ye put off concerning the former conversation. Conversation meaning lifestyle. Let me ask you, church, have you put off the former conversation? Have you heard God have... Now, I know that we have not made it. Paul said, I have not made it. One thing as I do is I forget those things that are behind and I press forth to the high calling of Christ. I'm not saying that you will live sinless in this life, but I'm definitely saying you need to make an effort to sin less in this life. You need to confront the sin that's in your life, be honest before God, and deal with it. Because letting it sit there and just festers and stinks and gangrene comes. The smallest splinter in your hand, if not dealt with, will cause your hand to be cut off. Jesus put it this way, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. I don't think He was joking about that. A lot of folks, and I've heard this from Bible theologians, well, Jesus didn't really mean want you to poke your eye out. I tell you what, if you're next time you get on the computer and you're not looking at something you want, you're supposed to, poke your eye out. See if you'll do it again. If you do it twice, I guarantee you won't be looking at it again. If your hand's causing you to steal, don't cut the whole thing. Just cut off your pinky. All right, this is causing me to sin. Let me get a hatchet. I'm going to whack it off. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? It is better to see your eye or your part of your body be cast away than your whole soul to be cast into hell. I'd rather go into to heaven as a one-eyed bandit than be cast out as a two-eyed hell raiser. Anyhow. Do you see why this was bothering me so much this week? Do you see what this charity thing is? How many people have looked at charity and say, well, it's just 16 things, I'll read through it in 2.5 seconds, bam, it's done. Oh, folks, if you do that, you're missing the boat. Because it's much more than what you ever dreamed that it was, this charity that He's talking about, this unseemliness that we're not supposed, we don't behave ourselves unseemly. before God. That ye put off, 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay? Come on, this is where it's going to get good. There is a way out. You need to be renewed in your mind. We need to start stop the stinking thinking and start thinking in godly manners, holy manners, looking for the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. Really and truly focusing on righteous holiness inside of me, because God's walking through my camp. He's looking at me. He's examining me. And He's calling me to put off the old things, to put on the new, to put on a new mind. I find great hope in that I am not constrained to the old life. I have a way of escape through Jesus Christ. I can let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He considered it not robbery to be equal with God. Let that mind be in you. I can be holy. I can be righteous before God. What is stopping me from being that? That is something you need to deal with in your own backyard. I know that there's things in my life I must deal with if I'm going to go to the next level with God, if I'm going to the next level with Christ, if I'm going to get in a little bit deeper, if I'm going to be able to snuggle up a little bit closer to Him. Now, He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Amen and amen. But there are things in my life, in my walk, that must be cleansed that I can snuggle closer to Him. I don't want to be at arm's reach with God. Amen. I want to be so close to Jesus Christ that the world can't see much difference between He and I. Greater things than these you'll be able to do if you get the unseemliness out of your life. All right, verse 20, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man which after God created in righteousness and holiness. Wow, what's the new man? After you accepted Jesus Christ, after you were converted, what did God put on you? Go ahead, you say this in verse 24. The new man. All right, which after God is created in what? And true holiness. True holiness. Do you know that there's a difference between holiness and true holiness? The Pharisees were holy. They were holy. They were righteous, boy. They obeyed the law as best as anybody could do it. Paul, or Saul, before he was Paul, was a righteous, holy man. But he was also turning Christians to be burned and stoned and put in prison, tearing families apart. But in his mind, in the law of God, without the grace of God, he was holy. You can be religiously correct and still not be righteous and truly holy. A true holiness confesses their sin before God. David was a man after God's own heart. He had true holiness. Now, yeah, he was a murderer. He had so much blood on his hand that he could not build the temple of God. That's a lie. Right? That's a lie. He was also an adulterer. We know what he did with Bathsheba. We also know that he premeditated and had her husband murdered. Have Uriah go to the front of the battle, and when he's in the front of the battle, have all of your soldiers back off. He purposely murdered him. But he was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen?
Very good.
Amen.
The grace abounds.
Amen. The grace abounds.
As the brother said.
Amen. Absolutely. Grace abounds. Because God has given us an opportunity for a new creature to be born in us. But we've got to get the right mindset. We've got to stop just thinking of these phrases in the Word of God and cherry-picking this and cherry-picking that and saying, well, God is all love. Amen. God is all love. But He expects all love out of us. And how can we put all love out of us unless we put all love in us? And if we don't live a life that is clean, if we don't live a lot, we need to be holy that we can have that. We need to be righteous that we can have that. We need to put on Christ Jesus. We need to wear Him as a garment, not only on the inside or the outside, but the inside also. Because on the outside, we all look pretty good, right? You all look, here Sunday morning, y'all took a bath last night. You look good, you smell good. Well, most of you took a bath. I'm sorry. No, I think all of you took a bath. Stop it. Stop it, this is gross. Anyhow, he says, but as he keeps on, wherefore, putting away, verse 25, wherefore, all right, God called us to true righteousness, created us in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, because He did that, we need to put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, where you are members of one another. All right? Every man with his neighbor, where are you are members to one another? He's talking about the church. We need to be honest with one another. All right? That's why I, almost every Sunday, you say, man, that's probably a pretty dirty preacher. Every time he comes up, he's confessing some sin. I'm doing that for two reasons. One, to show you an example that you can do it, and we're not going to stone you for it. All right? You might beat you with some sticks or rods, but we won't stone you. And the other thing is, it helps me. Because when y'all see my humanness, you can pray for my sin, and God gives me strength. That's why we do that. And I need you to judge me. I really do. I need you to judge me. And that sounds crazy. The pastor's asking me to judge you. Yeah, I am. I'm asking you to look at my fruit, tell me if there be any unrighteousness that you see in me, and then help me with that. Right? That we can become a better representation of Jesus. Because we're members. And he says in verse 1, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. All right. This whole thing about being angry with the church. Well, Deacon so-and-so said something to me about my red ruby shoes. And I, you know, when. I'm talking about men here, not girls, so y'all ladies. I hope there's no men here with red ruby shoes. Stop. Okay, stop. Me. I'm talking to myself.
We don't know if we're men or not.
Only if you're part of the Supreme Court, you can't tell the difference. We haven't been there. But even in that, all right, now I'm taking a little sidestep. Even in that we now have a supposedly Supreme Court justice that cannot identify a female. That's what we deserve. Okay? That's what we deserve. Because the church started being unseemly years ago. And we are reaping. We're receiving what we have sown. Alright? Jesus didn't say things are going to get good or better. They're going to wax worse and worse.
Recompense.
Amen. Reaping and sowing. Sowing and harvesting. Right? Yep. So we're looking at all of that stuff. Biden is not the problem, and Trump is not the answer.
Amen.
The problem is the church walking away from the truth of God, and the answer is the church getting in a better relationship with God, learning what charity really is, and living that, purposely living that. You've heard of that purpose-driven whatever by Dr. Seuss or whoever he was? Get away from that book. Okay, because I'm not, it's written with the pen of Satan and the Luciferian ink that he put on it. It's garbage. But what I am saying, there are things in our lives that we can take the blood of Jesus Christ and cleanse and work out. Have purpose in your life. What is your purpose? To make more money? What is your purpose? Amen. Praise God. If your purpose is Christ Jesus, if your purpose is holiness, then you will deal with the unseemliness that is in your camp. Amen. I love you, brother. He says, it's God. Amen. Glorifying God. That is my purpose. That is my call. So if I am living a lifestyle that is outside of what the Bible says is righteous and holy, then I'm not glorifying God. See, I don't think enough churches are teaching this. We have gender-confused pastors. They think they're male, but they have no backbone. All right? They think they're male, but there's no intestinal fortitude because they're afraid of the congregation. You're not going to hear this in a megachurch. They'll go over the love chapter, which is not the love chapter. All right? They'll go over that, but they won't really talk about the things that matter. See, in this, we're be angry and sin not. Don't give place to the devil. See, if we're angry and we hold that in our hearts, what are we doing? We're opening a spiritual entrance into our lives to destroy the church. That's what happens. Amen. Amen. You're giving a spot for bitterness. And when that bitterness, I don't know if you've ever eaten anything bitter, but it ain't good. It's bitter. They originally call it bitter. But anyhow, let him who steals, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need. Okay, if I'm working on the unseemliness in my life, and I was a thief before, what's he telling me to do? Stop stealing and go to work. Amen. Stop stealing and go to, stop sucking off the government and get a job. What's that old song? Get a haircut and get a real job. Right? Well, first of all, men ought not have long hair. And any of you guys that might want long hair, praise God, we don't have anyone here with long hair. And I know a lot of folks, I can hear it. I hear the Spirit out there saying, well, God, it's not going to stop my salvation. It's not going to stop your salvation, long hair, short hair. But it does do something, because I used to have long hair. I was a hippie, right? There was a time I could reach behind my back and grab my hair, right?
Do you have any pictures of that?
I'm sure somewhere, but when I left... But I'm so much lighter headed now that I got my hair cut. I'm sorry. That's horrible. If you steal, don't steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good, all right, that he may have to give those that are in need, all right? See, when you're stealing from God, when you're stealing, you cannot really offer the Lord what he wants. If you're stealing from God, you can't really give back what God has given you because you stole it from somebody else, right? You can't meet that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. This is one of my problems, corrupt communication. I'm not a cursor, okay, but I tell a lot of stupid jokes that really don't edify. And this coarse jesting is really what it is. And God's been working with me that a long time. And it's just something I just can't seem to stop telling stupid jokes. Right? I don't know if y'all have ever heard one.
That's not a coarse joke.
No, I know. That's how it is. How about all of those wicked rock and roll songs that I used to listen to that come out of my mouth? That's corrupt communication. Now, we may not think, oh, that's nothing. Oh, that's nothing, right? But before God, what is it?
Yeah,
unseemly, right? When I go through those things in my mind, it's something in me that I wish I had never put in. All the Black Sabbath. I know almost every lyric to every Black Sabbath song that was ever written. All of Steppenwolf's songs that were ever written. Spooky Tooth, all of them. Jefferson Airplane, all of them. Led Zeppelin. I can sing every Led Zeppelin song out. Not as good, well, not as bad as they cut. Probably worse. Right? And those are all unseemingly to God. That's the corrupt communication that comes out of me. And often I ask for your forgiveness. Often it comes right from this pulpit. God, forgive me. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. See, when we live an unseemingly life, we are grieving the Spirit of God. Because He's walking through your camp. He's looking for holiness. He's looking for cleanness. He's looking for righteousness. But He's seeing other things. And like any good leader, when he sees something out of place, he asks you to fix it. He says, I won't fix it for you, but I'll give you the power to fix it, and I'll give you the time to fix it. Will you fix it? Amen. And if we say, yes, Lord, and we pick up half of it, praise God. He will honor that. He will love you through that. Because I know there's certain things in my life, like the old rock and roll songs, I hate. I cannot tell you when I say them, I hate it even as it comes out of my mouth. I hate it. And after I do, I ask God for forgiveness for it. And He forgives me. 70 times 7, right? And even though I try not to do it, God said, clean it up. And I'm trying to clean it up. But it's a bigger mess. It's a deeper spot in my consciousness, in my mind. A deeper wound. Unforgiveness is a deeper wound, and you can't just clean it one time. It needs to be cleaned every time it comes up. Yeah. Thank God for His grace. Amen. And He doesn't give up on me. See, I didn't learn Christ that way. Verse 20:21 says, if so that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Christ, then put off concerning the former conversation. Oh, I was way past that. Mm-hmm.
31,
thank you. Let all bitterness, anger, wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All right, here's some homework. Do you have any bitterness? You're mad because of something. Way back where? Way back in the deep part of your back mind. Yeah, you're bitter about that? Get rid of it. If you're bitter about it, it's going to bring wrath. Boy, I wish there's nothing better I'd like to beat him up. I'm going to take my, what's that country? There I go again, see? I'm going to drag my key down the side of his car. You know, I'm going to wrath him. But wrath belongs to God.
Amen.
You know, it's not ours to give. We're supposed to give love and forgiveness and goodness and patience and kindness and gentleness. All right, but I have a problem. Anger. I know that Jesus talks about a righteous indignation, a righteous anger. And there it is, when He kicked over the tables in the tabernacle. The zeal of the Lord filled him up, and the disciples remembered that scripture. Well, remember what he was trying to do. He was trying to cleanse the camp. He was trying to cleanse the temple. He had to do that twice. I love that at the beginning and at the end of his ministry. Well, it wasn't the end of his ministry. I got to quit saying that. It was the end of his personal walk on this planet. But his ministry is still going on. Amen. Jesus' ministry ain't done yet, right? Not until how many of the kingdoms are going to be his? How many? Are you sure? Okay, that's when it's over. Amen. And don't let that anger and clamor, right? That thickening of your heart, evil speaking. How many times have we said things evil? Well, let's just say about Biden or Hillary or what's the P one? Pelosi. You know, your neighbor, right? Put that evil speaking, be put away with you with all malice. What's malice mean? Extreme fervent hate. Okay, God is saying to hate the seemliness that is in your life. fervently. Hate those things. Put them away with you with all malice. And then he tells you to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sakes, hath forgiven you. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Now, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Let me ask you, is this what you're doing? All right, this is what we're supposed to be doing, but is this a reality in your personal life? Do you walk in love? Not as long as I keep putting down Biden and Putin, not as long as I keep worrying about the vaccine, not as long as I worry about snake oil in the water, not as I worry about all those things. Now, are they real? Amen. Oh, I don't doubt it. I have a promise from Jesus. I'm able to walk on certainty and not worry about it. Drink any poison thing. Now, I'm not saying go out and get yourself a shot of arsenic and tempt God. But I'm saying that if I walk with God, that there is no weapon formed against me that can prosper. Amen. If I live in kindness, there's no demon in hell that can pervert God's walk in my life. If I desire to put away the shamelessness out of my life, I have a protection, a covering, a strength that comes from outside of this world, given by God to guide me. He again, Ephesians 6, right? He gives us the armor of God. He gave that to us as a protection from the world, right? Jesus said, don't take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil that is in the world. John 17, right? Don't know the exact verse. Next week, I'm going to use notes. Okay?
Before the first note.
Amen. No, I may not. I don't like what I wrote. I'd much rather just do this.
Amen.
You know? I would much rather do this because I think the Bible says it way more than any thought that I could do. Now, I do like my notes every once in a while. For instance, I wouldn't have thought to add Romans 1:27 where it talks about shamelessness there. That's the other place that it talks about. And he talks about sexual immorality. Actually, because they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, and God gave them over. Again, he's talking to people who knew God. They knew God, but they did not glorify Him as God, and they did things that were shameful. They did unseeming things, giving over men with men and women with women, allowing their children to be taught that they're Furbies. Allowing their children to be taught that they could change their sexual identity. Allowing that. There's a lot of Christians. There's a lot of people that profess Christ. I'm not going to call them Christian. I said that and I did it twice. The beginning and the end. There are a lot of people who profess Christianity. And they allow this perversion to rule this unseemly thing against God to rule in their hearts, calling good evil and evil good. He's not. This Bible right here, this the Word of God, I got news for you, was not written for the lost. The lost can't understand it. They cannot wrap their mind around it. All of this that we're talking about is for those who are called out who have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? It's not that God doesn't care about the world, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? But these things that we're talking about, putting on true Christian charity and understanding what it is, that's for the believer. That's for those who have tasted the goodness of God and said that it's better than what the world has to offer. Because that they, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1, 20-something. I got a lot of verses down. I just have to look down and see that one. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into, this is 23, so that must have been 22. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. This unseemliness that true charity has no part in. The true love of Christ inside of the church should have no dealings with the unfruitful works of the flesh. I haven't even gotten to Colossians chapter 4 or 1 Peter chapter 2 or John, 1 John 1 through 5 or Galatians chapter 6 talks about walking the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Interesting thing. Charity has 16 things, actually 17 if you think about this love itself. Charity has 17. The works of the flesh, guess how many there are? 17. They're right in step. Unless I miscounted, I could have miscounted. I'm not good at math.
Opposite.
Amen. Obviously.
Oh, they're opposite.
Opposite, yeah. And they're opposite. Mm-hmm. And if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The problem is that we choose to live unseemingly, which is the result of not walking in the flesh. And God cares about every spot of holiness in our life. Don't pray for me, because I got work to do. We can either continue unseemliness or next week, or start looking at seeks not her own. That's a big one too. When we look at charity not seeking her own, are we looking just to make ourselves look better? You know, are we seeking our will, not His will? Are we looking for our ways, not His ways? I don't know if I need to talk any more about unseemliness. Do y'all get it? You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Time will tell. We all say yes and amen. But I tell you what, time will tell. Time will tell. Because what you do next will reveal what you really believe about God. So what you going to do with this Jesus? What you going to do with this charity? What are we going to do? I know, as for me and my house, amen, I am going to serve the Lord. Will there be new trash in my yard next week? Probably. Because if we say we have no sin, then we make it a lie. So I know that there's going to be things coming up in my life. And I know that I'm going to fall short of what God has already told me to be. But I also know the abounding grace of God. That covers how much? A multitude. But that doesn't give me the right to sin. That gives me the ability not to sin.
Right.
And it gives me the strength to know that I can, through the power of God that dwells within me, be more than a victor. Amen?
Amen.
I can, through Christ, rise above this. And on the other flip side of that, I've got to want it. It's not just merely enough to stand at the bottom of the ladder and say, I know I can climb it. You got to start climbing it. You got to start conquering these things that are overruling our heart. And it's a battle. This is not an easy fight. I've been fighting this fight, this flesh fight, since the day I confessed Jesus Christ. Amen. And for a long time, I thought I could fight it by myself. That's when I kept failing and stumbling and going back to the world. That's when I really wasn't sure of my salvation. Amen? Because I thought I could fight this fight in and of myself. I could be a moral individual. I couldn't. Without Christ, oh, what's that song? I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Amen. We've got, that's a better than any of those 60 songs. Amen. Anyhow, folks, I love you. I absolutely love you. I don't want to see you come short in any spiritual gift, especially charity. Right? And in that, something we must put on. All right? It's like every morning you get up, you get dressed. Every morning you got to put on this thing. You've got to examine your heart and be honest with yourself about the sin that so easily besets you. Open. Don't hide it. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to cover it up with flesh morality. Amen? Cover it up with a broken and a contrite heart. Because that's what God will honor. That's what He seeks out of us. An honesty enough that we're willing to die to that thing, that unseemliness that is so easily, that sin that so easily sets us. Thank you. You set us. Trips us up. Anyhow, I love you. I'm going to quit talking. And like I said, next week we'll go over the notes. And so, love you guys. Praise God for you. Dear Father, I thank you. I pray for these folks, Lord Jesus. I pray for your people. Father, if there be any unseemliness in us, show it to us. Father, and teach us how to cleanse it. Teach us, Lord Jesus, how to turn away from those things which so easily beset us, Father. Teach us to hold to the truth of your word and not the lies of the world. Teach us, Father, to fight the flesh and to walk in the Spirit. Father, we are frail. We are weak. And we have sin. So, Lord, I'm just asking for this body, Lord, and for anybody who may hear this message through the internet, Lord, that you would move over us in such a manner that you would pierce our hearts and awaken us to the righteousness that is available to us. Lord, help us to be holy because you're holy. We ask that.